Glory to God, who among you blesses and praises the Lord. Blessed is our God, whom we love so much. I am very excited to be able to spend this time with you today. You may take your seats for an instant, please. And I'm very excited to see how the church here in Mexico has grown, and especially the profound love you have for God. To see the fruits of the work of our sister Mary Luisa, our teacher, our spiritual leader worldwide, and to see that her job has not been in vain, but rather we see God's support with her the whole time. Glory to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, this is great. What we're living today is great after the pandemic. It is the first Bible study that our sister Mary Luisa holds in a country where she calls all the churches. This is today, in this moment. Glory to the name of the Lord. In conclusion, God loves you dearly. In conclusion, God is paying attention to you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, this is a moment to celebrate. I would like today, in this brief introduction I'm going to offer, to try to focus on a new topic, which is the spiritual fire. And ask God very much so that this spiritual fire is with us. And so I give you that topic right away so that you meditate on it and that we all may desire the spiritual fire, the heavenly fire in our lives. Briefly, I'm going to show you what that fire is for, but let us think the whole time through that today we will have great fire from heaven. Glory to God. May it be so. May all feel it. May we all live it. I'm here being joined by my wife, Sister Raquel Hernandez, niece of our sister Mary Luisa, who is with us. We also have another niece of our sister Mary Luisa, Sister Andrea Virguez, and her husband, Brother Fernando. We have Sister Magnolia and her husband, Julian. Please rise. Sister Magnolia. She is a great helper of the foundation, the Maria Luisa de Moreno International Foundation, along with Sister Angela Oviedo from Colombia. And what you have done here with the foundation in Mexico, it has been wonderful. I would like to congratulate you because you are setting a great example of what it means to love our neighbor in solidarity. What is happening in Mexico is noteworthy. It is exceptional on a worldwide scale. Brother Sister Eduardo Moreno, Sister Angela Oviedo, they are very happy due to the work the foundation is doing here. Let us dedicate to our God this Bible study, which is wonderful. It is a gift from heaven that God gives the people of Mexico and the whole Church of the Lord on a worldwide level. Let us rise, brothers and sisters. Let us read in our Bibles, brothers and sisters, about the spiritual fire. And let us read two passages, very briefly, where we're going to find the meaning of the spiritual fire. Let us read in Malachi chapter 3. Here, we have a beautiful explanation of what that fire, that heavenly fire, the spiritual fire is, meaning our Lord. Malachi, we have in verse number 1, let us read for the honor and glory of the Lord. Behold, I send my messenger. That messenger was John the Baptist. And he will prepare the way before me. Before me is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple. The Lord Jesus and the messenger of the covenant, the same one, in whom you delight, who among you delights in him. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Let us read verse 2. You may read it, brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
I would like, brothers and sisters, you to keep in mind what word catches your eye. Where it says fire, but what type of fire? Like a refiner's fire. God is fire. You've read in the Bible that God is consuming fire. And consuming fire, as it states here, like what kind of fire? That refines us and cleanses our souls. And that is what's going to happen here today. Whenever our sister Marluisa starts to teach us, God is going to cleanse us all. And he's going to make us shine. Because here we all are like gold and silver. That when it comes to fire, God purifies us, refines us, and cleanses us, and makes us shine even more. There's no one here made of wood. There's no one here made of straw, because they would be burned with the fire, and they would disappear. If we're ever faced with trial, we turn into fluid, but then we become gold and silver. Glory to the Lord. Who among you is gold and silver for God?
Amen.
Blessed is the name of the Lord. And last explanation. Let us read it in Matthew 3, which also talks about fire, the other manifestation of the Lord. Matthew 3, it states in verse 11. It states, these are the words from John the Baptist speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ and speaking about fire. I believe you all remember them. Because John started to baptize them with water unto repentance, but he said, he is coming after me, who is mightier than I, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ. He will baptize you with what? With the Holy Spirit and fire. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And this is what we're going to receive here today. Blessed is the name of the Lord. The Bible states here, verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with and fire. Glory to the name of the Lord. How great is our God. How beautiful is our Lord. He is to be worshipped. He is beautiful. He is good. He is our life. Glory to the Lord. And let us end by singing chorus 34. This chorus, it sums up what we were speaking in the beginning, which is the refiner's fire that takes away any impurity. And the power of God, because it says, breathe on me, fill me with your holy fire. Then it says, burn it deep within me till my heart is what? Clean. So whenever we're singing, we will remember. In fact, this helps us during worship services. Whenever you're worshiping, you can say this to the Lord for him to send his fire and for him to do all of that, to take away any impurity. And also it says to fill us with his divine fire, but also to give us holy power. So for him to give us power as in Pentecost. Glory to God. Because that power gives us victory. Glory to the Lord. Let us sing it with our souls. Round of applause for the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. And a few days ago, a few days ago, a brother of the church was telling me, "Brother, I had a dream seeing that our sister Maria Luisa, that behind our sister Maria Luisa, there was a pillar of fire that was huge." And a few days ago, I was reading a passage about John the Baptist saying that he was the burning and shining lamp. So is our sister Maria Luisa for us. Let us welcome her with our souls. Glory to the Lord.
A very good morning. Good morning, beloved brothers and sisters from all of the different cities in Mexico where God has allowed for his congregation to begin to gather, to come together in order to worship his name. A warm greeting to each and every one of you. I am so happy to be here with you, my beloved brothers and sisters, and here as well, and around here as well, you all. I feel so joyful. I feel proud of you all. I see God in all of your eyes and faces. I also see the Lord giving you blessings, healing, and miracles. A greeting to all of you who are there in the adjacent hall, who were not able to have a seat here in this hall because of the lack of space and seats. A very warm greeting to all of you as well. I love you with all of my heart. And I give thanks to the Lord that God has upheld us. He is the one who upholds us. You may be seated. And now God wants to bless you all, and he wants to make you new beings, new men and women, for his service. God wants to give you peace and happiness that you had never found in your life before. God also wants to put on you the power from on high, the Holy Spirit, and his spiritual gifts. God wants for you to commit yourself to him, to follow this way. This way is not difficult to follow. This way is very easy with his help. Therefore, triumph and victory are near you all. In the spiritual and material sense, God is with you. God is with us. And today we have gathered here in this place in order to worship him, to honor him, to glorify him with song, with the reading and reflection of the Bible, and also to honor and worship God with the gladness in your heart, with the effort that you have made and the sacrifices you have made by coming from afar and not sleeping to travel by road. God sees all of this, and he is going to pay you, and he's going to give you that reward and that blessing. And your travels have not been in vain, because you are going to leave here filled with God's power and mercy, with healing and miracles, with joy and peace. And peace, the peace that God gives. And if there is an unbeliever, they are going to leave as a believer. If there is someone who doubts and says, "I do not believe, I don't have faith," they are going to leave filled with God, because God is going to touch their heart. because God is going to tap them right here and say, react. I am so close to you, closer than you think. That is our God. He is that. God is like this. He is power, greatness, and mercy. That is why we ought to worship God in spirit and in truth. It is enough just for us to close our eyes and call out to him, speak to him, ask him, speak to him like a friend, and he is there listening. How easy it is, to seek and to call upon the Lord to follow our Lord's way. He doesn't ask for anything in return. He just asks for our heart. He asks for us to give his heart. That is the only thing he asks for. But our spiritual heart, not the physical one, like in antiquity where they would take people's hearts to give it to idols. No, the Lord says, give me your heart, but your spiritual one. And to tell the Lord, I love you, Lord, I love you. Here I am. Send me. I want to do your will. Let us commit ourselves to the Lord by singing the chorus called With Prayer I Come. Let us sing to the Lord With Prayer I Come, chorus 159, 159. There is only time for four questions. You may be seated. Very well. Let us see. A question around this area. Another question from this area. Yes. Very well. Microphones. Yes.
Sister Mary Duisa, a warm welcome to you. My question is found in Psalm 25:14.
Yes, brother.
Where it mentions that the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. We have learned that the fellowship between God and human beings that seek him is through our part, prayer and good works, and from the Lord, the manifestation of his Holy Spirit through prophecy, dreams, visions, and revelations. My question is, Does there exist a fellowship or connection from the Lord with those people who don't know him, who don't seek him, who are of the world? Is it that God is completely estranged from them, or does he have a certain way of acting with them while they're on this earth?
Very well.
If they believe, could God communicate with them? Thank you, sister.
Of course. How is the Lord not going to do everything that he wants to? The brother's question is that in Psalms, I don't remember which psalm he read, but it says the secret of the Lord, meaning having fellowship with the Lord. But who can have that secret or fellowship with the Lord? That man or woman who does the will of God, or even easier, who fulfills the Beatitudes that we have just read. When the person fulfills all of those requirements, they are said to have a fellowship with the Lord. What does it mean to have a fellowship with the Lord? Whenever I need something, I cry out or I pray to the Lord, and right then and there, he gives me an answer. The Lord comforts me. He tells me, do not fear, do not worry, I'm going to help you. Do not be upset about this. I'm going to help you. There is a problem or difficulty or tribulation, an illness or an accident, or a person who is dying. And so one cries out and says, Lord, have mercy. Look at what is happening to this person. And the Lord says, do not worry. I'm going to help them. I will be there. That is called having a fellowship with the Lord. When we cry out and pray to the Lord, we talk to the Lord. He responds. He helps us. He gives us an answer. He gives us our wishes, our desires. It is called having a fellowship with God. A fellowship with God is when you have a friend and you love each other and you trust each other with your secrets. You trust your friend very much. And you trust them with your secrets. And when you are sad, you also tell them and you cry and the other person comforts you. And they say, yes, I think about you and I put myself in your place and I'm so sad seeing you sad. It had to happen. And there begins a dialogue, a conversation among friends. One comforts the other. And they give the best that they have to show them that they are there with that person. That is called having a fellowship. That is called having a fellowship. Therefore, to have a fellowship with God is to have God close to me. That the moment when I need him the most, the Lord is there. In the moment that I say, Lord, help me because I'm in danger, the Lord is there. And how many people has the Lord delivered from a danger through dream? Well, there's going to be a danger that day. They become sick. They are not able to go to work because they had a fellowship with the Lord. The Lord protected him and made him sick so he wouldn't go to work, because at work, there was a catastrophe. There was an earthquake and the building fell. And there, the child of God, the believer, worked. And the Lord made him sick so he wouldn't go to work. But it was because he had a fellowship with him. He wanted to save his life. And that is why he got him sick so he wouldn't go to work. And those who did go, the building collapsed. This happens so much. Or a bus accident or an airplane, perhaps an accident. And if there is a child of God, God does not allow them to travel. Anything happens to them where the person cannot go. And then in the bus where they were traveling, there was an accident and God protected them. And you say, God protected me from this accident. What does that mean? To have a fellowship with God. Since I had a fellowship with God, he kept me, protected me from those dangers. And if someone gets sick and they are sick, we have to take him to a hospital because he is very ill. This person is going to die. And then you cry out to the Lord and the Lord says, do not worry. They are not going to die because I'm going to help them. That is called having a fellowship with God. When God is near us, he blesses us, he gives us things, he speaks to us, he makes us promises. That is the only fellowship with God. The brother says, people in the world who do not know God, could it be that they have a fellowship with God? I believe that's a bit difficult. Perhaps the Lord does see them and hears them. He sees their works. But God cannot be there blessing them because they do not know God. They do not know God's way. They do not know how they ought to cry out to the Lord, although there are many people who say, I don't know. I have heard that God exists, and here I am in a problem, a difficulty, in danger. I'm going to cry out to the Lord of whom I have heard that exists to see if he hears me. And so if he does this with a sincere heart and he cries out, then God will listen to him because God is mercy and love. And so the person says, God, if you exist, if you truly are real, then manifest yourself in my life and help me in this moment. If you exist, help me. That is what a person from the world who doesn't know does. God, in his mercy, listens to them and blesses them because I repeat, God is love and God is mercy. But the fellowship with God is only with his children. Another question?
Sister, yes, Maria sister. Luisa, good yes. afternoon. May God bless you. I share with you greetings from the church in Atempin. We are a new church location, and it is a promise fulfilled by the Lord. My question is in John chapter 11, regarding the death of Lazarus. The verse is short, where it says, Jesus wept. I have a question as to why Jesus wept if he knew that he would raise him up from the dead. If you could answer this, sister.
Very well. The Lord Jesus Christ in that moment behaved like a human being. And it was a family that he loved very much. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, he behaved like a human being because he wanted to feel what human beings feel. He wanted to feel the pain, sadness, and suffering, hunger, cold, nakedness, poverty, the insults that one person gives to another, slander. He wanted to experience this being our God. The Bible says that he wanted to experience all of these sensations that human beings experience or live. And that is why he loved Lazarus and his family. Knowing that he died, he cried. But he cried, and no one asked, why do you cry? He cried his death, but he knew that he was going to resurrect him. But at that moment, he behaved as that human being, and he felt that pain, because that is what the Bible says. And we ought to believe what the Bible says, because some people say, but if he was God, if he's God, why does he feel? It says there that he took flesh. He became a human being to consider us. That is why God considers us, because he knows the weaknesses of our flesh and he considers us. He has so much patience for us and he helps us to press on. Thanks be to the Lord. Very well, sister. Let us continue. Yes?
Sister, good afternoon. Welcome home. Welcome to Mexico. Sister, if you allow me to read, it is in Malachi 3.
Yes, sister.
Verse 10 through 12. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. My question is, when in our hearts we understand the importance of the tithe for the Lord, so that the gospel can be spread throughout the world, we do it with joy. But my question is, sister, what happens when there is a brother or sister who is not doing it with that willingness in their heart? However, they have reverence and do not question or complain, but do it only to obey God and out of fear of God, to not fail God, but does not have that sincere love in their hearts to give their tithe, sister. If you could speak about this.
Yes, sister, this tends to happen a lot when it comes to the tithes and hear what is read in Malachi. And in the book of Malachi, let us keep in mind, this is a book that was already prophesying for the time of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The last three prophets that prophesied about the Lord Jesus Christ, Zechariah, Malachi, and they prophesied things about the gospel. And we see where you read, the Lord said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse and the nations will admire you, because God says that the nations will call you blessed because you will be. But this is more of a matter of the conscience or the way that people comprehend or understand things. When a person comes to church, they learn that they ought to give a tithe. There are people who criticize, and there are people who are business people and opportunistic who have taken advantage of this teaching that God has given about the tithes. They have taken advantage, and there are many religions that we know of today and many people who are scammers. Practically, they are scammers, freeloaders, deceivers who take religion. They take the word of God as business. And so they deceive people and they make them give money. They take people's money. Some people say that they take the money from your hands. And they are not preaching the true word of God. When this congregation began over 50 years ago, the Lord told us that we did not have to worry about money, because money would never lack in the church, in the congregation, because there would be money for all of the necessary expenses to go out and travel around the world to preach the word of the Lord. I already had known many denominations where people, the leaders, were there asking for money, only asking for money in every gathering they had, and deceiving people, and they had nothing of God. When the Lord spoke, when he used me to speak for the first time, I thought about that. And I said, Lord, I know many people, many Christian denominations that are always asking money from people, and they ask and they ask, and I don't agree with this, Lord. And the Lord said, do not worry, because I am going to be the one to teach each person their duty, and I will teach them, and you will not have to ask anyone for money. And thanks be to the Lord that we have not asked the believers for money, but God has placed in their heart and shows them in dreams and visions and places this feeling in their heart to give their tithe. And we do not have any lists of people who gives or doesn't give, but we know that God blesses the person who does it with a heart filled with conviction. Those who do it with knowledge, knowing that this church is of God and we ought to please the Lord. And people who do not do it, surely they have not understood the doctrine. Others are disturbed by spirits and they cannot develop completely in their spiritual life in the church, and they do not do it. Other people say that they do not do it because they do not make enough money. But that consists in each person with God. Each person with God, they will figure that part out. God will know what he's going to tell that person. Surely God will tell this person, yes, you do not have money, but I will give you money so that you can follow through with that act. I will give you money to tithe with. I will give you a job where you will give your tithe. That has happened hundreds of times with many different people. and other people keep their tithe. And when they have the tithe in the moment of going to give it, they do not do it because they regret it. And they say, this is too much money, and they do not do it. And the Lord says in prophecy, without anyone knowing their life and their heart, he says, and that money that you have kept there, that was mine, why did you regret it? Why have you not given it to my church? Why? You have to do it. And so this person is completely shocked and marveled, saying, but I did this secretly in my house, and I put the money in a little drawer. And so here, God discovers my heart. He knows what I did. And there are hundreds or thousands of testimonies that there are about the tithes in our church. And so God teaches the believers. He places that in their heart. And all of the believers do it with love, with conviction, with doctrine. And no one is asking, how much did you give? Do you give or do you not give? That is your matter with God. If God wants to bless you, he teaches you, he corrects you. If God has no interest in someone, he doesn't let them know. But that is a matter with God. I tell you, brothers and sisters, as a testimony, that God has fulfilled that promise that he made over 50 years ago when he spoke for the first time through my lips, and the Lord said, do not worry about money because the church will have a lot of money. And that is so. That is the truth. And you are witnesses that we have not made any lists or ask you how much you give in tithes. We love everyone equally, and we are hoping that God blesses all of us. And the matter of money is what we are least thinking about. We don't even think about those things, but that is God. God is the one that puts this feeling in everyone's heart. And I also tell you that there are many leaders from different Christian evangelical churches have come to us, and they ask us, and they say, what do you do? You do not ask for money. So what do you do in order to meet your needs? We always have to tell people, insisting that they have to give us money. We have to threaten them to give us money, and not even then do we get the money. How do you do it? And so we tell them, it's not us, it's God. God is the one that addresses each person with each heart. God places in each person's heart, and the person who does not do it because they doubt, because they say, oh, this is about money. Therefore, if God has a plan to bless you, he will show you in dreams or in prophecy, but God will teach you. And when this church began over 50 years ago, the Lord in prophecy said, I am going to give you money, but you ought to tithe. One time he told me, I remember that at the end of the year, I had no money. I didn't have a job. The church had not begun yet, but I had the spiritual gift of prophecy already. And so I was very sad because I did not have money for the end of the year. And the Lord tells me, I'm going to give you a job, but you ought to tithe. And it was so. I received a very important job where I was able to earn enough money for that month for my expenses, and I gave my tithe. And that is what the Lord does. That is what the Lord does. God ordered the tithes. Do it. But he who does not do it is because they have not understood, and God will teach them. But God places this in their hearts because he blesses his church, and this church is of God. He is the one who is ruling it. He is the one that is forming it. And of course, he has promised that money will not lack, and money has not lacked. Thanks be to our Lord. The honor is for our God. Another question?
Sister Mary Louisa. Sister Mary Louisa, welcome, sister. We love you in the Lord. Sister, my heart is full of joy seeing you and having you here in front of us, and please receive a warm greeting from the church in Celaya, Guanajuato. We love you in the Lord. My question is based on the Bible in the Old Testament, in Genesis and Proverbs. May I read, sister?
Yes, brother, yes.
Thank you.
In the Old Testament, where?
Yes, Genesis 21,
yes.
12.
Yes, yes, yes. You may read.
But God said to Abraham, Do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice. For in Isaac your seed shall be called. I'm going to read in Proverbs, sister. Proverbs 31:30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Sister Mary Louisa, in a Bible study, you had taught us that that woman who shall be praised is the church of our Lord. Sister, if I'm mistaken, please correct me. And going back to Genesis, it's my understanding that in the Old Testament, Sarah was a very important woman because God gave her a very special position that he did not give any other woman. We know that Sarah lived 127 years, but the question that I want to ask you, sister, is that the Apostle Paul also speaks in Hebrews 11:11. He speaks regarding Sarah in faith. My question, sister, if you could please decipher it for me a little bit more. These two verses that we read in the Bible, are they related to the Church of the Lord? Or better yet, why are they speaking of a woman? The woman who shall be praised is the Church of the Lord. And the virtuous woman, who would be Sarah, is it also related to the Church of the Lord? Or why did God speak to Abraham and say to him to listen to all that his servant Sarah said to him? Thank you, sister, and may God bless you.
The Lord was showing with Abraham respect towards people because Hagar was Sarah's maidservant. She was a person who, well, today there aren't any servants or slaves. In this case, they would be employees. And it is implied that as an employee, you ought to respect your bosses or managers. We ought to respect them. And Hagar was Sarah's maidservant. God told Hagar to not leave her side, but to be humble, to be meek, to have patience, and to go back to her boss's side so that she could continue serving her. That was on one side. On the other side, in the New Testament, we see when the Apostle Paul gave examples of faith. And he says that the father of faith was Abraham because he was the first to believe and trust in God and obeyed him. Sarah, as Abraham's wife, then becomes a mother in a spiritual sense. Abraham, the father of faith in the spiritual sense, Sarah, as the mother of faith in a spiritual sense, nowadays in the gospel of the Lord. But in Proverbs chapter 31, it is speaking about a virtuous wife and saying that that woman is excellent, she does things perfectly, and they would praise her and call her blessed. It's logical that there the Lord is talking about the church of the Lord. And that is why in Proverbs, in the verse that the brother reads, that the woman who fears God will be praised. If we are going to see things physically, yes, not only the woman, but the man who does God's will as well. They will receive praises and God is going to be pleased by these people. But the virtuous wife is symbolizing the church of the Lord. That is what Proverbs 31 says. And it says that she is a perfect woman, which is the church of the Lord, because the Lord said that he was going to raise his church without blemish or spot, perfect for himself, to celebrate a wedding feast at the end, a wedding feast where he is the husband and the church is the wife. That is why in Proverbs 31, he speaks so beautifully about that virtuous wife. But that helps us as an example. Why not us as women, physical women, human women, why don't we follow those beautiful examples of doing good and wonderful things, of living a wholesome life, being peacemakers and meek and merciful and patient. And why don't we do it so that people say we are excellent people, right? So that is what that is. Those who do what is good, they will be praised. Very well. We give thanks to the Lord. Let us continue.
Sister, my question, if you allow, is as follows. In 1 Kings 13, we see that the man of God has a great backing from the Lord and his prayer is heard, but God gives him an order to not eat bread or drink water. In verse 18, it says, he said to him, I too am a prophet as you are, and an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house that he may eat bread and drink water. He was lying to him. And the man of God ate and drank, and God punished him as he encountered a lion and it killed him. Sister, my question is, how can we distinguish a true prophecy from one that is given by deceiving spirits? Because our God also tests our hearts to see if we are truly sincere with him.
Very well. If we are sincere with God today we have the spiritual gifts. We have the gift of discernment, the gift of casting out demons, well, the gift of healing. In antiquity, where the sister is reading in 1 Kings, the prophets did not have that great blessing. The prophets were deceived easily. That is why the prophets, the good and perfect prophets that were with God doing his will, were rare and they were very few in number. And there were many false prophets because all were deceived. Because in their hearts, there was greed. In their hearts, they were seeking out the best positions and they were seeking to save their lives. Prophets in antiquity were people who were persecuted by the rulers or the kings and they would take their lives. That is why they would opt to go along with the king's ideas in order to save their lives. And this way they became hypocrites with God because they did not handle revelations with honesty, but they would keep an eye on staying in the best positions with the king and all his people. That is why the Lord was angry with those prophets and would leave them alone. And this prophet that the sister read about indeed went to go give the message, and God gave the order for him not to eat or drink and to come back through a different way. And the false prophet appears to him, and this prophet, then, instead of obeying the word of the Lord, word for word, as God had ordered, he found it easy because perhaps he was very hungry and thirsty because he had to walk a lot. They had to walk many kilometers in order to arrive at their destination, and he was very hungry and thirsty, and God told him, do not eat or drink. What a sacrifice. And so when the other one says, God revealed to me that you do have to eat and drink. And he says, oh, how easy, because I am so hungry and thirsty. And how great, I'm able to eat now. I can do this. There he obeyed the Lord. He did not sacrifice himself because God wanted him to sacrifice himself in that mission. But he did not sacrifice himself because he was seeking the easy way out. The easiest way was to satisfy his body by eating and drinking and disobeying God. Nowadays, we have discernment, and God gives us the ability to identify deceitful spirits within the congregation in order to identify the devil when he wants to come to the congregation and harm some people whose thoughts are not really dedicated to God completely. They are people who have not understood, and they come and the devil knows their intentions and the devil and pushes them to do displeasing things within the congregation. And they try to deceive the believers or the followers or the children of God. That is what happens. But we give thanks to the Lord that with the discernment that God gives us, we uncover the devil, we uncover the evil spirits. Do you think, brothers and sisters, that if it wasn't so, this church would have over 50 years of having started? This church wouldn't have survived. It would have only survived 10 years, and the deceitful spirits and false people would be in the congregation. They would have destroyed us. They would have deceived us and turned us away from God's path, but it hasn't been so. Over 50 years, we have been here standing, battling against the devil, battling against deceitful spirits, and battling against false prophecies that have emerged within the congregation, and we have confronted and chased away the devil from among us. That is what happened. Thanks be to our God. But why? We give thanks to the Lord because we are seeking the true God, and we are not seeking profit. We have no greed in our heart, without covetousness or any type of greed, but we follow God's way honestly and wanting for everyone to know God, and that all of that greed remain outside, because the day that there is a heart that is greedy for the material things, greedy for money, they are no longer a believer. Their spiritual life is ruined, it is destroyed, and God removes them from church. Therefore, we give thanks to our Lord that there is no greed within us, because he removed it from the moment he called upon us, and he has delivered us from all of these things. He has kept us, and that is why the Lord gives us the ability to keep the church, to protect it, and watching for the devil coming to deceive. Although there are envious people, other Christians who are envious that call us false prophets, that's what they say. They are false prophets, but what about the good prophets? They do not have them either then, because if there are false prophets, there should be good ones as well, right? If there are false prophets, then where are the good prophets? They say that we are false prophets, then where are the good ones? Because they do not have them either. So there, they contradict themselves. We are not saying that we are the prophets. We are saying we are children of God. We are here following the way of perfection, trying with all of our strength to follow this way of the Lord in order to please him and to love him, to do his will, and one day attain eternal life. We do not want material things in life because we cannot bring anything. But we want to take with us many souls to be in eternity, rejoicing with the Lord, and the false prophets and the demons will not be able to go against the church of the Lord. Very well, let us continue. Yes, sister?
What great joy I feel in this moment to be before you, asking you this question, which is based on the book 1 John chapter 3, verse 17 through 18.
1 John 3, 17 and 18.
Yes. It reads, "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." And also in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 42. "Give him who asks you."
Oh, yes. Yes, sister.
"And from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away."
Yes, sister.
Sister, if you could kindly explain these verses of the Bible.
Yes. To be merciful, to be giving, generous, to have compassion for others, to see someone else's suffering, their needs. If you have an abundance, then why not share with those who do not have anything? If someone comes and asks for a favor, asks for food, asks for money because they are in a very difficult situation, we should not deny them. That is what we do. That is what we ought to do. The Church of the Lord, people would ask me before, what do we do in order to fulfill what the Bible says here when the Lord Jesus Christ says that we ought to help those in need, those who are hungry, helping those who are ill. How do we do this in order to fulfill this rule? Thanks be to the Lord. That is why we have the foundation, for example. We have the foundation, and in the foundation, we are able to go to different businesses and ask for money from business owners, and many of them open their heart. They open their doors and they donate products that they make, or others give money. And so with the foundation, we look for places where there is that need in order to bring to people, whoever it may be, because it is not that we just help people from the church, but outside of the church as well. So as for the church itself, it cannot give donations to people because it is prohibited by laws in certain countries. In countries, they have created laws where churches cannot give any help without becoming a nonprofit organization or those types of foundations, but the church is only to have people and to address them spiritually. That's it. So that is why there are foundations. That is why whoever would like to participate in the foundation as a donor or as a person who is there helping as a volunteer in order to help out, and how beautiful it is to go to those marginalized places and to give help and to give them what they need and to give them kindness and warmth, and you give them a smile. How many people have been healed from cancer and got up from their wheelchair during the foundation's events? Some people are from the church, others from the world who do not know about the church. And so I would go to those events and I would go and greet the people in wheelchairs with so much warmth, and God has done so many miracles with them without being from the church. And so this is what happens, brothers and sisters. What happens is that help is done, and in a certain way, we are fulfilling with what God says. Therefore, sister, if you can, the day you have the opportunity to help someone, you will do it. That is what happens. And that is what we ought to do.
Amen. Thank you, sister.
Very well. Let us continue.
Sister, good evening, afternoon. May the Lord bless you greatly. My heart is filled with happiness in this moment. This gathering stays in my heart with so much joy. And I am so happy to see you once again, sister. My question is regarding strength. What importance does strength have for spiritual growth? And does this strength have to do with a sound mind or self-control? Thank you, sister.
Well, the strength in the Lord. There is a chorus that talks about the Lord is our strength. Strength, being strong. Up to what point are we strong? And in this way of the Lord, we ought to be strong, because this way we are in a constant battle. We are every day battling against the enemy. Every day. You have not reflected upon this, but every day we have a battle with the enemy. The enemy can place any type of obstacle, problems, difficulties, tribulations, bad moments, bad news, so many things that the enemy places, anger with people around us, our friends, misunderstandings, fights, arguments, chaos within our homes, anger, all of this the enemy places constantly, all the time. And there are people who are weakened and are not able to resist, to go through all of these tests and to press on. Therefore, they are discouraged. They lose faith. They lose their trust in God. They forget the promises that God has made. They forget about everything. And discouragement comes, laziness comes, and people stop seeking the Lord. They stop reading the Bible. They stop praying. They stop congregating. They forget about God. because the difficulties and all of the worries in life then covered them and drowned them. Therefore, in order to avoid these things, we need strength. We need the strength that God gives us. We need the power to resist the enemy. All of these attacks that he does constantly, that is why the chorus says, "The Lord is my strength." How do I strengthen myself in the Lord each day? Each time I have a bad day, a difficult day, then I remember his promises. I kneel and I pray to the Lord and I tell him everything that is happening to me. The Lord then comforts us, speaks to us and tells us, "Press on because I'm going to help you. Do not worry about this. Do not pay attention to it. Continue steadfast and press on in your way because I will help you." Therefore, the Lord strengthens us. Glory be to God. Another question.
Sister, good evening.
Yes, brother.
Sister, good evening. May the God of heaven continue blessing you. Welcome to Mexico. It is an honor to address myself to you. If you would please allow me to ask you a question.
Yes, brother.
Thank you, sister. My question is found in 2 Samuel 6:14. When King David was dancing with joy while taking the Ark of the Covenant to the house of David, it mentions that he was wearing a linen ephod. According to Exodus 28:6, the ephod was a garment that was reserved solely to be used by the priests. My question is, why was King David dressed in this manner if he was not part of the tribe of Levi, but rather the tribe of Judah? Thank you, sister.
Very well, brother. I have also asked myself that same question. I always read and I ask myself, why, if that was for the priests, if they were the only ones who did that by putting on the ephod? Also, we don't find a type of discipline where it says, "He who wears an ephod without the order," as it happened with strange incense, where God did forbid anyone from offering incense and only the high priest was able to do so, but his children did it without having that order and God punished them. But in regards to the ephod, I have not found in the Bible that God had forbidden this. I did read that David put on an ephod and he went to inquire of God. He went to the prophet in order to inquire of God. Also, the Bible does not mention that God had punished David because of this. He did not punish him. Therefore, the question still stands. It still stands until one day God reveals it to us, what happened there and why. Perhaps it wasn't so necessary. Perhaps it wasn't as important, rather, that the king had done this, putting on the ephod without being a priest. Maybe that wasn't as important. We do not know if perhaps there was another requirement that would help us with this, but we are not going to question anything, nor are we going to make anything up, because what is written there, since it is a story that occurred, we do not know anything up to that point. So let us stay with that question. Continue to read the Bible. Maybe you discover, perhaps maybe while you read, you discover the mystery and you can tell me. You can tell me. Very well. Let us continue.
Good afternoon, Sister Maria Luisa. There will never be enough words to refer to you. Today, I will call you our spiritual mother, a teacher to all of us, because your perfect testimony, your constant love, your daily dedication, you educate us, you change us, you cleanse us. We are very happy to receive you in this country, and we hope that this is the first of many spiritual feasts that the Lord may grant us with you. Mexico loves you.
Thank you.
And always welcomes you with open arms.
Thank you. Thank you.
My question is in Job 28 in verses 6 through 8. May I read?
Yes, sister.
Its stones are the source of sapphires, and it contains gold dust. That path no bird knows, nor has the falcon's eye seen it. The proud lions have not trodden it, nor has the fierce lion passed over it. My specific question is, to what place are these verses referring to? Thank you, sister.
It says, surely there is a mine for silver. Yes. How are people not going to be happy when they have a lot of silver? And so they mine it. And a place where gold is refined, iron is taken from the earth, and copper is smelted from ore. This is a reasoning that Job makes. He is describing the punishment of evil people. He thought that he was an evil person, that he had done something evil, and that is why God was punishing him with that illness. He was there on the ground suffering, and Job said, he who is sick and suffers is because they are committing sin. And surely I have committed sin. I have not realized it. I have committed sin, and God is punishing me for this sin. That is what Job said. And among other things, he had a lot of knowledge of nature and God's work. He had a lot of knowledge. But at the same time, let us continue reading to see what he is trying to say when he begins to list, or at least describe, when he says that there is a mine for silver and a place where gold is refined. Iron is taken from the earth and copper is smelted from ore. He says, man puts an end to darkness and searches every recess for ore in the darkness and the shadow of death. Very well. So he was reasoning and thinking about all of the elements that there is on the earth. All of the elements are placed in their spot. They fulfill the function that they have, how God made it. So what is happening with me? I was a righteous man, a man who did God's will. So why am I in this situation? What happened? And so in the midst of his pain and suffering, he begins to philosophize and reason and speak and question all that he could find in his thoughts at that time. And here in verse 4, it says, he breaks open a shaft away from people in places forgotten by feet. They hang far away from men. They swing to and fro, speaking about the minerals. As for the earth, from it comes bread. So he's saying, yes, from sowing seed, harvesting, but beneath it is turned up as by fire. And so Job had uncovered, or God had revealed to him, that in the center of the earth there was fire. And that was true. Its stones are the source of sapphires, and it contains gold dust. So he is listing, he is describing all about nature. It seemed as though Job was killing time, as some people might say. What are you doing here? I'm reading because I'm killing time. I'm just waiting for time to go by because I want to do this and that. And in the meanwhile, I will do this or that. That is what Job was doing. Truly here, the sister read up to verse 6. Truly here, we don't find doctrine. We find that Job would, in a way, unload his pain, because it says that day and night he had that pain in his body. And in order to unload his pain and not be in his pain the entire time and the complain, he would philosophize, talk about nature, because he was a very educated person. He was a scholar, a person who knew a lot. And so he started to talk about nature in order to forget about his pain in that moment and to be able to distract himself with other things in order to go along with his friend's mindsets. And so starts to talk about the mines and the earth found in the center of the earth, just as we, when you rest and you start to reflect and you think about so many things and you forget that you exist in the moment, and you say, oh, I was reflecting upon so many things that my headache went away. So something similar happened to Job in his suffering. Let us continue with another question around here.
Sister Maria Luisa, welcome to Mexico. Receive greetings from the church in Jalapa, and I hope that very soon you may allow us to enjoy of your presence if God allows it. I have a question in Songs of Solomon, chapter 2.
Song of Solomon 2.
Verse 3.
Yes, sister.
And it reads, like an apple tree among the trees of the woods, so is my beloved among the sons. Sister, it is a privilege to be before you, and in order to put my question into context, allow me to share something with you. The Lord brought me to Mexico from Colombia 10 years ago, and I came here with the idea of working, but the Lord had a different plan for me. And after being here for about a month, the Lord allowed me to meet the person who is now my husband. And 10 years have gone by, and this has been the best material blessing that God has given me. I have lived beautiful things throughout this time, but I have also made mistakes, and I have asked God each day to teach me to be a good wife. But I also ask God from the bottom of my heart to help me because I want to please Him in every aspect of my life. And I think you are the perfect person to ask this question to because you are the woman I most admire. How to be a perfect wife for God?
A perfect wife for God as a church or a woman, a wife, yes, for your husband?
A wife.
Very well. So we ought to be wise and holy, virtuous women, as the example found in Proverbs chapter 31, where it says that the wife who does all of those things will be praised. And not only women, men as well. We ought to find perfection. We ought to strive for perfection. Someone might ask themselves, what is perfection? Here, the sister read in verse 3, like an apple tree among the trees of the woods, so is my beloved among the sons. Here, the church is talking. The church is praising the husband, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the church talking to Jesus Christ in Song of Solomon. But the sister is saying that to be a perfect wife, not just wife, but perfect men and women before God, because not only do we need a perfect wife, but a perfect husband. But as a church, we need perfection. And perfection is to turn away from everything that we have spoken about, turn away from evil, like the Beatitudes that we read in the beginning. The Lord Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed those who are meek, those who hear the word, those who are hungry and thirst for righteousness. And when we seek these things and we want to be blessed, we begin to live a righteous life before the Lord. And to live a righteous life before the Lord, it is to turn away from sin, to not commit sin. And so turn away from adultery, turn away from fornication, turn away from holding grudges, avenging, scamming, extortion, turn away from rape, turn away from kidnapping, turn away from stealing, turn away from slander or bad words, obscene words, turn away from doing harm to others. Keep yourself from having grudges, from having envy, from being jealous. Keep yourself from all of this. Turn away from this. God helps us to change. God removes and takes from our heart, just as I said in the beginning, that uncleanness. He removes it and He allows for us to have a clean heart from all that is evil. And when we are reaching those levels, because this comes in levels, when we are reaching those levels and we begin to climb toward eternity, climbing up, we begin to climb steps, and we are all climbing steps, and we ought to reach up there. where the Lord is. Surely we will arrive on the day of our death, but we are climbing. We are going up a new level every day because the Lord cleanses us and he removes when you want. If you want for God to change you, to remove weaknesses that you have, binds that you have, little sins. You say that they're little sins, but they're sins for God. But when you say, I have a few sins here and there, then say, Lord, help me remove these small sins that I have here. Help me because I cannot do it on my own. The Lord will help you if you set yourself. When you acknowledge as well that you have this, because there are people who do not acknowledge that they have sins. People do not want to acknowledge this. And they say, no, the way that I am fine. I'm happy. I'm happy stealing, committing adultery, fornicating. I'm happy this way. And I want to continue this way. Or getting drunk and doing crazy things. And so God is not going to change you. But when you say, Lord, I want to change. Remove all of this from me. Help me because I cannot do this on my own. Then the Lord begins to deliver you and change you. Therefore, we ought to want and ask the Lord to change us. That is why the Lord Jesus Christ said, he who knocks, he says, he who knocks, the door will open. And if you say, Lord, remove this weakness, this sin, this bind that I have in my being, I want to please you. You are knocking at the door and the Lord is there ready to open it so that you may enter and attain God's blessing. That is called when we are changing and we achieve that change, we say that we are perfecting ourselves. That is called perfection. Until we attain perfection, we are living on this earth. Normally, we are not committing sin. And that is beautiful. It can be done. If someone says that no one is perfect, well, I don't know in what way they are saying it. Because as humans, yes, of course, no one is perfect because many of us are discontent with ourselves physically. There are some people who say, well, I don't like being very tall. Others may say, I don't like being very short. I don't like having my long nose or short nose on my teeth like this. This is being discontent. And people say, no one is perfect, and that's okay. But we are speaking about the spiritual. Spiritual perfection is attainable. Physical, material perfection perhaps may not be for someone who is discontent, but spiritual is attainable. And we will be able to be perfect because God promised it. The Lord Jesus said, I'm going to make a perfect church. And the Lord does not lie. He is going to do this and we will be perfect. Even if we have many physical flaws, but those physical flaws, God will make beautiful with the grace that he gives us. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we will become perfect and we will attain it. Thank you very much. Thank you, brothers and sisters. I am so happy to be here with you. How sad that we are going to say goodbye now, that you are going to have to go to your homes. I have to go to mine. We will continue to see each other on Sundays. On Sundays, we will see each other while I'm not traveling and I am in my spot. Then I will be giving the sermon on Sundays and I will see you through the camera. And you will also see me on the screen. I love you with all of my heart. I hope that God, may bless you and work wonders and miracles because that is what the Lord made me feel in the beginning, to bless you and to give you the spiritual gifts that you may attain that perfection before leaving. May my Lord bless you. Thank you very much. Thank you all, my beloved brothers and sisters. And we are going to be praying now to our Lord. Let us pray. You have come with your needs, with your petitions. There are various illnesses. There are wishes in your heart. We are going to present before the Lord all of these things. And let us trust in our God. He is here with us, and He is going to give us the wishes of our heart. Let us pray, blessed God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, eternal and righteous God who created the heavens and the earth, our powerful God, you were with Moses. You spoke to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. You gave them commandments. Many requirements of how his people should act, because you wanted a holy people, you wanted a faithful people to love you, to honor you, to seek you with a sincere heart, a people that was holy and perfect, because you, in your plan, have had a plan to form a people that would only dedicate themselves to you, a singular, unique people. And we are here for over 50 years, O Lord. When you humbled yourself to look upon us, you decided to speak to us and to make us marvelous promises. Thank you, Lord. Because those promises, we are seeing them fulfilled even to this day, and they will continue to be fulfilled always, because you are with us, because you have been with us for over more than 50 years, and you have supported us, and you have fulfilled the promise of making a great people, forming a congregation that is very large with many people in an international level. And you have fulfilled that promise as well of giving everything that is necessary, like money, for all of the expenses that there are in order to evangelize, to be able to travel around the world, and also the expenses of all of those church locations in different towns and different countries. Everything that is needed materially for the congregation to gather in one place so that they may worship your name. And you promised it, and you have fulfilled it. And here in Mexico as well, you have seen them with eyes of mercy. You have looked upon this country, and you have come to bring the seed, the word, so that everyone may know your truth, so that everyone may know your way, so that they may open their eyes and not be ignorant in doctrine or your knowledge, my Lord, but that all may learn and understand and comprehend that there's only one way that leads to eternal life, and you are that way, a powerful God, a God in spirit and in truth, that we cannot touch with our hands, but we can feel with all of our being, in our heart, in our soul, and our spirit rejoices every time that you manifest yourself among us. We also have the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit that speaks to us, leads us, guides us, and teaches us. I also give thanks for this. Thank you for these brothers and sisters who are here, the brothers and sisters from different cities and towns in Mexico. They have sacrificed themselves to come here and listen to your word, to receive your blessings, to receive healing from the body and of the heart and soul, to receive the power of your Holy Spirit, to receive miracles and works from your powerful hand. They have come here, O Lord, trusting in your word, in your promises, and trusting in your power and your mercy to bless them. They have come, O Lord, to receive your powerful hand and your benefits. Holy Father, that is why I ask you, my Lord, in the glorious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, extend your powerful hand, your healing hand, and that it may be you healing all people who are sick, all of those who have various illnesses, extend your hand. Heal, Lord. Heal all. Deliver them. Also, those who are victims to witchcraft and curses, remove these unclean spirits. Rebuke these unclean spirits and give healing and deliverance. Break those diabolical chains. Remove them from that prison in which the devil has them in. Deliver them, O Lord. Deliver their mindsets and help them so that their spiritual blindness is removed and the bondage in their mind, and that they may not have any thoughts of idolatry or pagan customs, but that it may be you delivering them completely, O Lord. Holy Father, in the glorious name of Jesus Christ, I ask that your powerful hand may be cleansing and delivering, working miracles, delivering and healing each person. Fulfill the wishes of their heart. Fulfill their petitions that they have before you. The petitions that they may forget the past, that they may forget the past, that they may live in the present, so that your love may be reflected in their lives and in their hearts, and each person may receive the blessings from heaven. Holy Father, that each person may receive blessings, deliverance, and triumph and victories. Thank you, Father. Thank you in the glorious name of Jesus Christ, your beloved Son. The glory and the honor is yours. The worship is for you, my Lord. Forgive many. They persevere. The people that perseveres before your presence, that they may be calm because your blessing has come. Your Holy Spirit is in each of them. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you, Holy Father. Thank you in the glorious name of Jesus Christ. The glory and the honor is for you forever and ever. Glory to your name. Glory to the Father. Glory to the Son and glory to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to the King forever. Chorus 90. Chorus 90.
Toma por favor mi mano, Señor. Contigo quiero ir. Con sangre aquí pagaste por mí. Te quiero hoy servir. Anhelo poder lo malo vencer y en santidad vivir. Toma por favor mi mano, Señor. Señor, contigo quiero ir. Con sangre aquí pagaste por mí. Te quiero hoy servir.
Blessed and praised is the Lord. Thanks to our Father. Thanks to our God. And thank you, brothers and sisters. I don't know why the Lord says that we have to forget the past and to live the present. Perhaps you get tangled up in the past, and it torments you, I say. it makes you suffer and filled with worry. Do not live in the past. Live this present with God. The Lord has given so many blessings, and all have received a blessing. No one has been left out without God's blessing. Everyone, from the smallest to the biggest, have received blessings from heaven today. Do not doubt. Do not worry. Pray. And before leaving, pray to the Lord. Speak to the Lord and ask Him to be with you, to protect you and to keep you always. May my God bless you and thank you. Thank you. I love you with all of my heart. Thank you. Thank you. See you soon. See you soon, brothers and sisters. May God bless you.